Esther chapter 4, verse 1, when Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth with ashes and went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and bitter cry and came even before the king's gate, for none might enter into the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And in every province, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was great mourning among the Jews, and fasting and weeping and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. We find Mordecai's reaction here to the decree that had been set forth that Haman desired and Ahasuerus had approved of and had signed and sealed with his ring. Because Mordecai refused to bow to his Amalekite nemesis Haman in chapter 3, the entire Jewish race finds itself in grave danger apart from a miraculous deliverance and intervention on the part of God. Haman was filled with wrath against the Jews, so he persuaded the king to permit him to draft a decree in which all Jews would be murdered, so the kingdom would be freed, in his mind, from the people whose laws are diverse from all people. You know, that's true of every child of God. Our laws, the commandments, the truths of the holy word of the living God are diverse from all other systems of faith. They require us to be fully, wholly set apart unto God. The decree was written, it was sealed with the king's ring, and sent by post throughout the kingdom. The date had been fixed for the Jews' extermination and their extinction and execution as a people. Now, up to this point in the narrative, Queen Esther had concealed her true identity as a Jew. But in this chapter, this young lady's faith in Jehovah is about to be severely tested and proven. Now, in verses 1 through 3, we have Mordecai's reaction. Upon hearing the decree, Mordecai tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes. This was a reaction of grief over the plight of his people. The garment of sackcloth was usually made of rugged goat's hair, very uncomfortable. And when sackcloth was put on, it usually was associated with distress, as in the case of King Hezekiah after he read the letter of Sennacherib, the Assyrian king, who had threatened to invade Judah and destroy the people. Hezekiah responded to the warning of Rabshakeh by putting on sackcloth, and he also engaged in prayer. If you want to look at that, turn over to 2 Kings chapter 19 to give you a little bit of a frame of reference. 2 Kings chapter 19. Verse 1, and it came to pass, when King Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. And he sent Eliakim, which was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priests covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz. And they said unto him, Thus saith Hezekiah, This day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and blasphemy. For the children are come to birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. It may be the Lord thy God will hear all the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, has sent to reproach the living God, and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore lift up thy prayer for the remnant that are left. So the servants of the king Hezekiah came to Isaiah. Chapter 14, or verse 14, excuse me. And Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. You know, this is what we got to do. Let's take it to the Lord, spread it out, and leave it with Him. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, Thou art the God, even Thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Notice that. These are true people of God that are praying. Hezekiah is a man of God who believed God made the heavens and the earth. When we pray, we have to acknowledge that He is the Creator. We're not atheists. We're not theistic evolutionists. We believe God alone is the Creator of the heavens and the earth. And that's why we direct our prayers to Him, because He is sovereign over all. And we recognize that we're powerless against the God and the gods of this world apart from the true and living God. Verse 16, Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see, and hear the words of Sennacherib, which has sent him to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore have they destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. That's the kind of prayer we ought to be lifting up today as a nation, as a people. Our nation has been given over to idolatry and immorality and unholiness and perversion. And only God can change the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls. But God's people need to repent of their waywardness, their worldliness, their lack of concern. Now, other times sackcloth was associated with repentance. In Matthew 11, 21, Jesus said, Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works were done in you had been done in Tyre and Zidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. So in light of these passages where sackcloth is mentioned, it seems as though Mordecai's reaction was a combination of grief and repentance. He not only put on sackcloth, he did it publicly by going out into the city and even before the king's gate, which was forbidden. And Jews everywhere followed the example of Mordecai and sought the Lord by prayer and fasting. And when God's people are in trouble, they ought to follow the instructions of Joel 1:14. Sanctify ye a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God and cry unto the Lord. Don't cry unto the politicians. Don't cry unto the God. Cry unto God. They had a concern about what was taking place. So they set out to seek the Lord, who was the only one who could deliver them. And there are times and seasons in our lives when the only one we can turn to for comfort and help and strength and power in times of need is God Almighty. And sometimes God has to strip us of everything to get us to that place. He may be doing a great work. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. People are trying to figure out, how can this happen? How can this happen in the United States? You turn from God. It's very easy to see how things can happen. You don't have God as your trust. Mourning, fasting, and seeking God in fervent prayer are considered foreign remnants of a bygone age in our society. You know, I've believed this for many years. Our nation is on the brink of moral disaster. Sin is rampant. Crime is off the charts. Violence, murder, obscenity, immorality. People are actually fighting to have babies killed up to 9 months in the womb, up to the day of birth. Supposedly that was one of the rallying cries. To save our democracy. I don't want no part of a democracy that murders children like that. Sinners are going to hell. And yet we often go on with our lives with little concern and few tears. We get so caught up in our personal interests, we have little time to grieve and fast over our own sins, the sins of our country, the sins of self-righteousness and pride. When Daniel learned of the plight of his people, he sought the Lord. Daniel 9:3, and I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Conviction ought to seize us for our Laodicean attitude. Tears should stream down our faces in repentance as we consider our apathy. We are experiencing little revival in our land. We're not following the admonitions of old issued to the nation of Israel. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. God's people aren't turning from their sins. Do you realize that people who believe Genesis 1:1, now listen now, that believe that God is the Creator, are a minority in churches. Not just in the nation, but in churches. You know what that means? They've set up evolution is an idol. Climate change is an idol. Science, falsely so-called, an idol that people are bowing to. People have to repent. These preachers, so-called, that won't preach the gospel, who preach social justice and all these other things instead of the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ as the only way of salvation, they need to repent. It's ungodly. James 4:8 through 10 says, and this is only hope, draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. That's to God's people. How many people are putting the things of this world in the place of God and giving a priority to it? Lost sinners who are condemned and headed for everlasting destruction show little concern for their souls. There's little thought given to God and His holiness and His judgments. They're under condemnation and wrath, yet they live their lives as though there is no eternity or judgment to face. This is the condition we're in. We need some sackcloth and fasting and repentance. H.A. Ironside said this, and we'll close. How foolish would it have been for the Jews in the days of Esther to have instituted a series of games and popular amusements in order to banish from their minds the awful fact that their death warrant had been signed and was about to be put into execution. Lost sinners are blinded by Satan, the god of this world, who is busy taking their minds off thoughts of eternity and filling their lives with pursuits that will matter absolutely nothing 100 years from now. Oh, that God would grant repentance and faith to sinners, and repentance and restoration to God's people who are wayward. We're dismissed.